it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time for a college football discussion with Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines. And a good afternoon, Danny. How the heck are you?
I am fantastic. Hope you guys are doing great out there in Dallas, ready for a big showdown out there. Nice rivalry game. But the first 5-6 weeks of college football have been awesome, man. They've been a ton of fun. I think we're in for some fireworks on the back end of the season, too.
Yeah, it is. It's been amazing buildup, an amazing season already. It's fun to watch this line move from the Longhorns favored by 3 to now a 1-point underdog. Is this the John Mateer availability swing in it, or how do you see this matchup?
Boy, if it is, I think it's a lot of speculation, like reckless speculation, which is not unusual, right? When you have an injury to a quarterback that is that important to the team, and when they're interviewing Chipotle pressers and they're trying to get the inside scoop on whether Mateer is going to play, it kind of speaks to this area around this coverage. But I do think that to me would almost indicate that Mateer is going to play, even though that's not what I think. I mean, I think if he does play, I'm very curious to see how his grip is on the football, that throwing hand where he's had this thumb surgery. How does it affect ball security? I will still be surprised if he does play. But I also think it's probably a little bit of people selling on Texas from what we saw at the Swamp and them getting beat by a Florida Gator team that's very average, and a defense which was supposed to be really good didn't look as good there at Gainesville. So it's probably all of this is sort of the perfect storm for a lot of people to come back to Sooners.
Yeah, Danny. I mean, Texas, their line of scrimmage just got bullied against Florida. How surprised were you? I mean, obviously, we talk about Arch, and as a former quarterback, I'd love to hear your thoughts on where Arch is and his development right now. But maybe we overrated Texas and the team around him.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think we overrate everything, right? I mean, it kind of happens in our society, and we get out ahead of ourselves. But I did think the defense, which had been really good and was really good against Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State has still – that offense has been humming. They've been – got a quarterback who's completing 80% of his passes at Ohio State, and Texas looked – their defense looked great against them. I think it was one of those games where they just sort of had a letdown game, got caught a little bit, by surprise. And I think Florida's offensive line was probably the thing that was most surprising, the way they were able to get some movement up front. But I do think Florida was one of those disappointing teams where if they were coming off a bye, they were kind of, had some excitement, some motivation. It was at the Swamp, the home team. I just feel like they had the game of their year so far, and Texas had a letdown game. It's sort of that perfect storm. And I do think Arch, I will say this about Arch, because I've been one that was not all into the hype. I think he's still going to be good. I thought it was just going to be a roller coaster ride this season. I think there were going to be pretty massive ups and pretty massive lows, and I think you've seen that so far. But I do think he's getting more comfortable in the system. I do think Sark is scheming up guys where you're seeing him have more opportunities. And I would actually expect Arch to play pretty good in this game. He's thought, now that he's played multiple times in environments like at the Horseshoe in Columbus, at the Swamp, he's getting more comfortable. He's just got to kind of settle down, and I think his process is kind of on par with what I thought it would be, where – it'll take some time for him. He's going to have to make mistakes on the field, because that's the only way you can learn is by going out there and making those mistakes and then correcting them. He's making pretty good decisions with the football. I know there's interceptions in there, but that's sort of normal. That's par for the course. So I think he's going to be fine. I actually think this might be a week where Arch could step up and really start to silence some of the critics that are way too over the top, calling him a bust or a flop. I get it. He hasn't reached the expectations, but those expectations were impossible for almost anybody to meet.
Danny Cannell, CBS College Football, with us here on The Fan. Mizzou and Alabama this weekend. How do you see this one shaking out? Could Alabama get really tested here?
Here's the thing. I'm a little bit shell-shocked from last year with Missouri, because last year Mizzou – started the season off 4-0, and everybody was raving about them, and I thought they were a little bit overrated. Now they went on the road to Texas A&M last year, and they got smoked 41-7. Now, there is a massive difference this year. They are playing at home in this game. It is in Como, but I'm a believer in Bama. I think Bama is a really good football team. I think they're the best team in the SEC. Since that loss to Florida State, it's almost galvanized that locker room where they're all coming together, and their defense had gotten guys back, like Tim Keenan on the defensive side of the ball. Jam Miller's been healthy. They've been running the football a little bit better. Ty Simpson is playing probably as good as anybody in the country, and he's stretching the field vertically. So I think Alabama's going to score on Missouri's defense. The one question mark I have is Ahmad Hardy, the running back from Missouri, is the best running back in the country, arguably.
Yeah.
He's leading the SEC. He's up there. That's the one thing I do concerns me a little bit. If Missouri can score on Alabama, this could be a little bit of a higher scoring game. But still, I would trust Ty Simpson more than I trust Bo Pribula, the transfer quarterback who has a lot of people from Penn State wishing he hadn't left. But I do like Bama in that one. I like Bama laying the 3 points there.
Okay, so you got Bama best in the SEC. Where do you have the Aggies at, Danny?
I'd have them right below them. You know, their win against Notre Dame was really impressive. I know it was a high-scoring game, and they won by 1 point, but I think they're just a tier below. And it's probably just from a lot of it's probably, you know, a little bit of brand bias. Alabama's been better historically. We've seen collapses before for A&M. But I tell you, finding those receiver, you know, transfer portal receivers in Craver and Concepcion on the outside, getting depth now in the backfield, now that, you know, Le'Veon Moss, we knew what he could do, then have Owens all of a sudden come up, show what he can showcase. And Marcel Reed finally really getting settled in Colin Klein's system. I would put Texas A&M right there just below them. They absolutely are in the conversation, but I think this is one of those big tests for them where they're supposed to win a game against Florida. I'd like to see them put the hammer down. And by the way, I didn't even mention the job that Mike Elko's done with the defense, that now that he's taken over play calling, much more discipline, which they've kind of struggled with some of the penalties. But I do think this Aggie team is right there in the conversation for one of the best in the SEC.
Danny, why do I feel like that Indiana is going to go to Oregon and get slapped around?
I think it's because of what you saw last year, right? They were, you know, top team last year, top 25 team. They were sort of the surprise. And then when they played in Columbus against Ohio State, they got outclassed. When they went to South Bend in Indiana, they got outclassed in the playoffs. So I think that's because it's human nature. But I think even Kirk Cinetti, I just talked to him about an hour ago, he was telling me he thinks this team is better, he said, than they had last year. I think they definitely got an upgraded quarterback in Fernando Mendoza. But the big question mark is, how do they handle the physicality up front of Oregon's offensive and defensive lines? That's usually the last step you have to take, because skilled positions, you can find them. Those big 300-pound bodies, they're not sitting on every street corner. Mm-hmm. And out, you know, a lot of the top programs in the country, Ohio State, Oregon, Miami, they scoop all of them up. So that's really the big question mark for me. But Indiana's QB is special. Fernando Mendoza, I know a lot of people have him as a top pick in the NFL draft potentially. He does have the type of arm talent and the escapability that can really make this thing interesting. But I'm with you. I actually think Oregon is in the conversation for best team in the country. I kind of do feel that Oregon kind of puts the hammer down on him. It's in Eugene. Mm-hmm. Austin's going to be rocking. But I would not be shocked. Like, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if Indiana is sitting there at the end and they could have this game in the fourth quarter, and then kind of anything can happen.
Danny Cannell, college football with us here on 105.3 The Fan. What do you think of my alma mater, the North Texas Mean Green? I didn't think I'd ever be asking you about their playoff chances, Danny, but we got the biggest game in school history tomorrow night, South Florida coming to Denton. What do you think about us?
Oh, I tell you, your QB, Drew Mestemaker, he has been outstanding, the freshman there. I worry a little bit about you guys being able to keep him, because usually when you have a group of five quarterback playing as well as he is, all of a sudden those bigger schools come calling with, you know, some pretty hefty offers. So
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of a good and a bad, right? He's been outstanding. So here's, I feel a little bit similarly to some other teams I've talked about. It doesn't mean I don't think they can get it done, but South Florida is a little bit more battle tested, right? South Florida, they beat Boise State pretty handily in their opener this season. They did go into the swamp, so they've used, and they got a win against the Florida Gators. They played at Miami where they got outclassed. But I think much like the point spread dictates, I think this is going to be a fun game that comes down to the wire. And I think very clearly the team that wins this one is going to be in the group in the driver's seat for the group of five playoff team. Boise State is done with two losses. They're out of it. I do think the American champion is probably going to be the team that goes there. But it is an outstanding job they've done there in Denton with North Texas. I mean, they look really, really good, like a good football team. This will be a really fun matchup.
It's Danny Cannell with you, brought to you by Bet Online Tech, the clear favorite to win the Big 12 from this point forward. How established are they? Do you think they're the favorite in the conference for the foreseeable future with everything they got going on out there with the NIL money? And where do you see them in the big national picture?
So they're clearly, I think they're the best team in the Big 12. What they did against Utah a few weeks ago was so impressive, where they dominated from start to finish, and they've really handled almost every opponent that they've faced so far. And even when their quarterback goes down like he did at Utah, Baron Morton's out, doesn't matter. Next man up, their offense doesn't miss a beat. But we already know Baron Morton and the offense could put up points. The biggest difference is on the defensive side of the ball, and that's where a lot of the money was spent. When they go in and get a guy like David Bailey from Stanford on the defensive line, a Romello Height from Georgia Tech on the defensive line, that's been the biggest upgrade. And kind of like I was talking about before with some of the bigger bodies that are out there from the top-tier teams in the country, that's where Texas Tech has spent the money well. So they've got some of the bigger guys in the Big 12. I think they will be the team from the Big 12 that ends up the last team on top. I do wonder how they'll do against the very best, but I absolutely think they can win a playoff game or two and shake some things up, because Joey McGuire has done a phenomenal job getting all those transfer portal pieces coming together on one page and playing outstanding football. They are absolutely the real deal. And I had my doubts, because it's hard to just buy a roster, but they have absolutely delivered on what they purchased.
What do you know about this Belichick fiasco, Danny? I mean, do you think this could be could this be over in a matter of weeks? Yeah.
I can't even recall a bigger disaster hire that we've seen. I mean, in the NFL, I think when Urban Meyer went to Jacksonville to take on the Jags job, I thought that was a disaster unlike anything we'd seen. The college level, I think this is kind of similar. And I do think it's for a reason on both of those, because I think coaching college kids and coaching NFL players is an entirely different ballgame. And I think that's why Urban struggled in the NFL, and I think that's why Belichick is struggling with college kids. I mean, he's got more of a transactional relationship, treating kids like pro. He's not really a motivator, not really a team builder. He's a great teacher, and he's a great X and O guys. But in college, you really do need to motivate your players. I mean, go look at the best coaches in our game, guys like Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart, Steve Sarkisian, you name them, all the coaches that we talk about. They're great motivators, and they always talk about getting the team to come together. And I just think Belichick thought he could come and his genius mind would work, because, you know, he's a great mind and he would be able to exploit some of those weaknesses. It hasn't, because the team doesn't look like they're playing for him, and it doesn't look like he's even trying to appeal to that aspect of the game. It has been even a bigger disaster than I thought. I thought it could be boom or bust, but it has been beyond bust, where I think it is, and I would have laughed. You would have said at the beginning of the season, do you think he's not going to survive? I would have said, no way. Of course he's going to survive. But I think it's very real. A lot of the rumors, where there's smoke, there's fire. The more information that comes out, it feels like people are turning on Belichick, even some people that were his biggest backers. I would not be shocked. I would not be surprised if November, they play Stanford at home, November 8th. Mm. Stanford's not a very good team. If they lose that game, I think that might be a date to circle. And they have Duke at home, and Duke's a really good football team. I think Duke could blow them out. I don't know if there's a firing, though. I think it might just be one of those ones where even Bill Belichick looks around, surveys the landscape, says, you know what, I don't want to tarnish my legacy any more than I already have. Let me just take as much as possible a graceful exit as I can and just rip the Band-Aid and go look somewhere else. I think that's probably the direction we're headed.
Danny, are the kids at Penn State trying to get James Franklin fired?
They might be. I'm preaching patience to Penn State fans. I know it's harsh, And I know that losing to UCLA, who was one of the worst teams at the Power Four level, feels like the worst loss in history. And as a 24.5-point favorite, losing on the road there was embarrassing. But it sort of was the perfect storm, right? They had just had a heartbreaking overtime loss into a game they had circled against the Oregon Ducks. Then they have to travel across the country to a team that just fired their coach, and they were sort of rallying around a new coaching staff and a young offensive coordinator who kind of has a fresh set of eyes and a fresh mindset in there. And then all of a sudden the game started snowballing against them. And, you know, Penn State, all of a sudden they look up the scoreboard and it's 14-0, and, you know, UCLA gets an onside kick. It was sort of the perfect storm. I still think Penn State could rebound. Now, I have my doubts about just how good they could be. Like, at the end of the season, I thought coming in they would be a national championship contender. Clearly, you have to reevaluate from that perspective. But I still think they could be a 9-3 team, which how many programs across the country, there's a lot of them, would love to have that problem of, man, we're a 10-11, 10-win team, 9-win team, and that's not good enough for us. And I would just caution Penn State to be very careful, because we've seen other programs. Nebraska comes to mind. They got sick of going 9-10 wins with Bo Pelini. They fired him, thought they were going to get an upgrade, and they've been searching for the next head coach for 15 or 20 years. You've got to make sure, if you do depart from James Franklin, that you have a very clear-cut upgrade. And until I see that, I'm very skeptical. But I would tell Penn State fans, let the season play out. You still could win at Ohio State. I know it seems crazy. You still have Indiana at home. There's a couple signature wins that could be on the table for them. And I remind them, you did take Oregon to overtime. You were one play away from potentially winning that game and totally changes in complexion. So they clearly have room to improve, but I still think that should preach patience for Penn State fans.
Speaking of coaching searches, Arkansas, maybe they just elevate Bobby Petrino, but there's been a lot of buzz locally that maybe they'll try and get Rhett Lashley away from SMU. Do you think that Arkansas is a better job than SMU right now?
Not currently. And I think this is going to be a really tough decision for Rhett Lashley, who would be my first call as well at several schools. And that's what I think becomes more intriguing too, because if you see Auburn come open, which looks like it might be more likely happening than not, if you see Florida opening, which looks like it could be happening more likely than not, those become really attractive options as well. But since you asked just about Arkansas and SMU, Arkansas's athletic director was out on record saying, we don't think we can compete for national championships. Like, we just don't have the resources, which is kind of mind-boggling, thinking about the Tyson Foods family and the Walmart family that they have behind there, how they cannot be in a position better financially. I get it, though. Hey, maybe that's a plea for him to try to get those money to come in there. And they just had Calipari come in there from Kentucky basketball to Arkansas, you know, to take over their basketball program. But if I was Rhett Lashley or any coach thinking about taking the Arkansas job, I would want to have some sort of financial game plan to show me that I can compete on a fair level playing field with the likes of Alabama, Georgia, Texas. You know, the list goes on. Texas A&M, all those schools who have more resources. And if that wasn't a very emphatic, here's the evidence and where the money's coming from so that we are on par with those programs, I would not leave SMU. Because I think Rhett Lashley is a perfect fit for SMU. I think he can wait. He can be patient, see if a better job opens. SMU has, you know, deep enough pockets to be able to compete on an annual basis in the ACC and then in the playoffs as well. So I think it's going to be an interesting decision for Rhett Lashley, but I think if it's just those two, I think it's pretty clear cut to stay at SMU.
One other thing before we let you go, Danny Cannell, what do you think of the way Dak's playing quarterback right now?
I think he's been great. I've always been a Dak fan. I'd say, that offense looks like it's clicking on all cylinders. He just has to make that next step in the playoffs. You know, I've always felt like he was a quarterback you can win a Super Bowl with. It might not be because you can win a Super Bowl of, and we've seen that in other years, when maybe he's fallen short of expectations and, you know, or the injuries have been derailed a couple seasons too. But I think Dak is elevating himself into that. I've always felt he was a top 10 quarterback, but I do think he's starting to knock on the door of potentially being a top 5 quarterback. And the experience and the leadership that he brings to the table is pretty invaluable. So I'm a big fan of Dak, and I'm rooting for him to kind of break through one of these days and take that big next step forward.
Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you, sir, and enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Cheers. BetOnline.ag, updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.